Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. Books.
Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and this is Bookworm. Today, my guest is Julian Talamantes Brolaski. Several years ago, I read Julian's second book. It was called Advice for Lovers. It was published by the City Lights Books people. And I found it to be an absolutely extraordinary book. I don't know if you read poetry, but if you do, you may have noticed that people don't write love poems very much. And this is an entire book of them. It's not just love poems, they're lust poems and they're lewdness poems, but they are based more or less on classic love poetry, on Ovid, and on Renaissance poetry. You can hear in this book bits of Shakespeare, the sonnets. It's incredibly beautiful. And so I've been waiting and waiting for a new book to come out. The new book is called Of Mongrelitude. And it's published by Wave Books, another one of my favorite publishers of new poetry. So, first, I wanted you to hear what a couple of the poems sounded like in Advice for Lovers by my guest, Julian Talamantes Brolaski. First, there's a dedication. It's a dedication to Venus.
I'm a love poet and dedicate all my verses to love, that god among goddesses, goddess among gods, that cavalcade of hearts, that point on which I turn as both their clerk and thrall, and also their messenger. Therefore, hearkneth, ladies, lords, if you would love, to these advices.
And let's hear the very first poem per se in the book.
Okay, it's called Discipula Amoris.
What does that mean?
Student of love.
Student of love.
Now hearkneth to me, lordings and good lades, upcome in a wood of dowerful shades, who'd be love scholar, Discipula Amoris. Learnt in all the lawsome ways that love is, learnt in that sweet science of bruising, which renders lewd, so that at your choosing you may yet plot to snare your pet, or blaze their parts in English, or by your very glance to hook a hating falconet. Hearken, and you'll spin on profferments to dance. Ladies, listen, if you would loving prove and glorify the lewd lust and love.
Julian Talamantes Brolaski, the first two poems from Advice for Lovers. Now, 5 years have gone by, and after a book of poems devoted almost entirely to love, we find a book of mongrelitude, this new book, and the very first poem is also, it begins with an invocation, but this time it's to war. And the first poem is called War Message, and I thought I'd ask you to read it and listen to how different it is.
War message, we don't want your tools. Look, gentle people, the only source of likelihood is a fist and a gentle orifice. If I'd have been a ranch, they'd have called me Bar None. A fecund desert full of heartless so-and-sos. The tub of butter thereafter was rancid. We put Zur and Zur mouth to rest along with the chickens in our maw. Hey blood, hey sucka, as like to one as to the other. Do you love your sibling as they do, as they do?
Now, what happened during those 5 years?
Oh my goodness, a lot. Actually, I wrote the poems and Advice for Lovers when I was in graduate school at Berkeley, and I was, you know, kind of under the influence of a lot of this classical and Renaissance poetry you were mentioning. And eventually I ended up writing my dissertation on rhyme and poetry. So I was very interested in formal verse, and a lot of these poems are very formal. Something about those rhythms spoke to me. I was really interested in like medieval English and old English, like how things could be spelled and pronounced all different ways. I loved the flexibility of that type of speech, and I wanted to write in all these ways. And also, I write songs. I'm a songwriter, so I think I hear it as melody, and a lot of those like medieval and Renaissance poems were set to music. So to me, they were songs that are songs also, and some of them are tunes. Like some of the poems in that book and in this book are have melodies to them.
It seemed to me that a great deal of pain had intervened between the Book of Love and the Book of Mongrels. Mm. Tell me.
That's true. The Book of Love was really an exercise in a lot of ways. Like I had an idea, and I had, you know, these formal verses, and I had this structure. I wanted to write advice for lovers. So there, it's like how to leave your lover, how to seduce somebody, how to do this. So it really had like a thesis. And myself was in it, but I was also adopting this persona of a love poet that I wasn't, but I was. So it was, whereas with this book, you know, it's hard to talk about because it feels so much closer to my body. And, you know, what happened in those years to my body is that I transitioned and I decided that I had to write about myself and my body and passing.
Now tell me what you mean when you say transitioned.
Well, I'm transgender, so uh-huh. I transitioned from one thing to another, but I don't really think that there's one thing and another. Like, I think there's many genders, and I think that my gender is multiple.
And yes. My sense is that in both books, gender is all genders or all possibilities of gender.
Yes, I think so. You know, I'm kind of interested in this idea of, like, instead of, you know, trying to find a third gender pronoun or a gender neutral pronoun and finding just the right one, instead there should be a proliferation of pronouns. So that's partly what the mongrel is. It's also like being a racial mongrel, being and linguistic mongrelitude. So it's, and all of those things are part of my body.
I'm talking to Julian Talamantes Brolaski. His new book is called Of Mongrelitude, and among the things that I saw, you talk about color of flesh, you talk about race, you talk about gender, you talk about a digression between human and animal. I'll ask you to read the prose poem of Mongrelitude, which is the title poem in the book.
Sure. Of Mongrelitude. A bed of roses itself is no bed of roses. Nobody wants an e-book. They would sooner leave you in the lake, a den of moldering slime for your coffin. Everybody calling it a recession, they're in a delusion. I am privy to these contradictory situations where I am told first the one and then the other bathroom is the wrong one. Madame, c'est là, and then, oh monsieur, je me suis trompé. If I powder my nose in the tudes, if I choose to walk barefoot in the small hours, you yourself are a healing property, you know. You came home from the fair only to join the circus, its festal moods, to feast on frost. So one learns to make their way amid the multitudes, and no bliss as a cow person. I know I am the small fry here, whose harnessed thought drove winter aback, goes wrestling their daemon underground. Though the stirrups brinked and the mud was broke, I looked down to the rivulet between the track and couldn't tell if what I saw was a turd or twisted rust metal. And the rats rooting amid the black death and the typhus. One comes out stepping, their eyes fallen on the shores, cognizant only to the trash they mucked around. Suddenly, you and your neighbor's thighs are pressed together, accidental camaraderie or blunt eroticism, and neither of you move away. We race toward the mounds of gravel, the morning star met with its wanderer.
Julian Talamantes Brolaski of Mongrelitude. Whereas in the first book, the figurative language is extravagant and elaborate, here we immediately are told a bed of roses itself is no bed of roses. It involved an entirely different way of writing, yes?
Well, the line about the thighs, meeting the stranger's thighs, is about sitting on the subway in New York. And I think the last line is kind of a ripoff from Milton. But this thing about opposites meeting, I mean, that's always the most attractive thing to me about poetry, is that it, you know, that's what it always does, is reconciles apparent opposites. And I have some personal experience with embodying this. You know, I talk about in that poem, and this really happened to me at an early point in my transition. I was in Montreal, and I tried to use the men's room, and someone told me that's the wrong bathroom. And so I tried to use the women's room, and someone told me that's the wrong bathroom. And so I feel like they both are and aren't. And I am and aren't.
That must have been a very frightening realization.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something I think about every time I use a public restroom. And why it's so important that there, I think in California, there has to be gender-neutral bathrooms now, right?
Yeah.
Not so elsewhere.
Now, as I went through this book, you managed to travel through a good deal of pain and confusion, but end up, by the end of the book, by the final poems, once again in a visionary circumstance. Did you want to get there? Did you force yourself there? Did you surprise yourself to find the book, leaving its darkness behind and finding vision? How did it feel to you?
Well, I knew in order to love myself, in order to become okay with being a mixed race, mixed gender, mixed language being, that I had to undergo some serious healing and medicine, and that I had to do it myself, and that I had to seek that out. And so it involved going through all of that pain, and it involved using song and using ceremony. And I don't even know if I can describe it, but by the end of the book, I've begun to have visions.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. I'm talking with Julian Talamantes Berlasky about his book Of Mongrelitude. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Julian Talamantes Berlasky about his latest book Of Mongrelitude, Poems That Break Language to Get You to Hear Them. I know that you are part Native American, part male, part female, part of every pronoun that is, but what are mixed languages?
Well, as I mentioned with Advice for Lovers, I was writing out of kind of this tradition of classical Latin poetry and Renaissance poetry. And I got really interested in medieval verse because of the way it uses different spellings and medieval lyric, like the troubadour poetry we were talking about. There was they called macaronic poetry, which mixed English and French and Latin. So I've always been interested in the way that English makes itself available to so many other languages. Like, it has a Germanic base, but it has so much French in it, you know?
Oh, wow. So the language itself is a mongrel.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm interested in, like, mongrelizing it, and because it seems like it wants that, like it's so amenable to it. So in this book, there's, you know, there's different spellings, there's different pronouns, there's romance words, there's Apache words, there's Germanic words.
In your voraciousness for words of all origins, what I saw was a fascination with translation, that words can be translated in all kinds of ways and still be correct and incorrect at the same time. And I thought I'd ask you to read this visionary poem, the final poem in the book, because it is so given to the mystery of how to translate troubadour poetry. For people who don't know, who are the troubadours and when did they write?
Well, the troubadours were a set of medieval writers that flourished in southern France and around Europe in the medieval period. And I mentioned in this poem mentions Marcabru, who was a practitioner of what they called trobar clus, which is like translated as like closed singing or hermetic poetry, like difficult poetry.
And Pound, Ezra Pound, who wanted to escape from the typical iambic, say, of Tennyson, went and started to translate troubadour poetry because he felt it offered other possibilities to the English language. This poem is called As the Owl Augurs. Julian Talamantes Brolaski, reading the final poem in his new book, Of Mongrelitude.
This is As the Owl Augurs, and it's dedicated to my grandmother, Inez Talamantes. I have an hour to read Marc Abreu and fall in love, to study the medicines and put a rock in each corner of the house and pray over it with pollen as my elder advised, to test my unextraordinary knowledges, to briefly wonder whether I was actually under a spell, to write my poem about being a mongrel, I must love even the fox that impedes my path, and jettison my former ire in any gesture towards abstraction, and go to the dump finally with the disused bicycle tires and the broken antlers and the cracked stained glass of a ship that I formerly would have harbored because I did not love myself. But the broken shelf, I want no more of it, and the jangle mongrel and the rose and the Indian cowboy that lay all closeted along with my availability to my own mind and the killings of our families, queer and black and brown and Indian. Slaughter at Orlando, symbol of our hermitude. Massacre at Aravaipa, Gashla'a, Cho'o'a'a, big sycamore standing there. Bear River, Sand Creek, Tulsa, Rosewood. And when I finally sussed them out and laid the tequila in its proper trash and attempted to corral the pony of my mind, they say the Ohlone were here as if there were no more Ohlone, erected a fake shell mound, called it Shell Mound Avenue. My friends don't like that. My friends don't like that excrement. It's not like you'd give away the algorithm, my best friend pointed out, to the one you're trying to put a spell on. Marc Abreu uses the word mestiza to describe the shepherdess his dickish narrator is poorly courting, which Podden translates half-breed, and Pound, lowborn, and Snodgrass, lassie. But I want to say mongrel, mestiza, mixed breed, Melissima, most honeyed, most songful, what Catullus called his boyfriend's eyes. Honey, the color of my dead dog's eyes, the stomach of the bee. I'm going to gather pollen from the cattails in a week or two to pray to the plant, tell it I'm only taking what I need. Use a coat hanger to hook the ones far from shore. Filter it through chiffon four times. What is love but a constellation of significances, like magic? Los cavex nos aura, as the owl augurs. One gapes at a painting, the other waits for Mahana.
I find that poem beautiful without necessarily always knowing where I am in it. Is that okay?
Definitely. I think it's, I don't always know where I am in it. I'd like for people reading it just to have the experience of being in it and being in the language moment to moment.
And by your author's note, I know that you sing in a country and western band, and there are cowboys and Indians throughout these poems, not cowboys versus Indians, but cowboys and Indians. And that is the joining point where most people would want to find an opposition. Yeah?
Yes.
But tell me about the owl and augury.
Well, augury is like a method of divination, and You know, some of the ancient Greeks used to augur by the entrails of sacrificed animals and things like this. And, you know, I've been interested in this idea of prophecy and the fact that the birds could have prophecy, prophetize, and that I think now we need more than ever to listen to the animals. Like, I think that the cowboy and Indian inside of me could be fighting. Maybe it is fighting in my blood. But I think that we all inherently understand certain rhythms, and the animals understand it too. Like, cowboy and Indian music is the same. Like, it's, you know, it's four beats. In powwow dancing, like, you lead with your left foot, and in Texas two-step, you lead with your left foot. It's like the same pattern, it's the same rhythm, and animals and plants are not insensitive to these rhythms.
I've been speaking to Julian Talamantes Brolaski. His new book is called Of Mongrelitude. It asks us to recognize that a mongrel is both a defamatory name and an embrace of all kinds of oppositions and mixtures, and that oppositions and mixtures are where life and poetry, where images come from. Thank you very much for joining me, Julian.
Thank you, Michael. It was a real pleasure.
It was a pleasure for me, too. I really enjoyed learning from you. You can comment on today's show or read an excerpt from Of Mongrelitude at kcrw.com/bookworm. Download the podcast from kcrw.com or from iTunes. You can also listen on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. My co-producer is Connie Alvarez. Alan Howard is associate producer. The technical director is Mario Diaz. Special thanks to David Sobel. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm. He is a bookworm. She's a bookworm. We are all bookworms. I am a bookworm. We are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mail of Sparks.
A bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms. And we're just reading this. I am a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when Stephen Moore is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.